This is Katie McCowan, and you are listening to the Best Day Ever podcast.
Hello, and welcome to the Best Day Ever podcast. I am Katie McCowan, and I'm so glad you're here. I have with me as a guest on the podcast today, Barb Roos. Barb, how are you?
I'm happy to be hanging out with you, Katie.
And this is not your first time. This is like old hat. You know the drill of the Best Day Ever podcast. So I am thrilled to have you back again. And I will tell you, I want to say, I mean, it was maybe the very first interview I ever did on the Best Day Ever podcast was with you.
I think so,
which is so fun that you were like the beginning of the Best Day Ever podcast. You were there. And so here we are again, and I will tell you, I still hear comments. So if you have not listened to the very first, I want to say it's like episode 2, but it's the first interview for the Best Day Ever podcast with Barb, I would encourage you to go back and listen to that, because I still have people that come and tell me about how much they enjoyed that interview. For those of you who are meeting Barb for the first time, let me tell you a little bit about her. Barb Roos is a popular speaker and author who is passionate about teaching women to live beautifully strong and courageous in spite of their fears, so that they can experience God's great adventure of faith and purpose for their lives. I love that so much. Barb is a Bible teacher who loves following God more than anything else in life, and she's a real woman who has experienced depression and anxiety, parenting challenges, family addiction trauma, and long seasons of walking by faith in unanswered prayers. Barb has written several books and Bible studies, including Surrendered, Letting Go, and Living Like Jesus, I'm Waiting God, Finding Blessing in God's Delays, Joshua, Winning the Worry Battle, and her newest Bible study, Breakthrough, Finding Freedom in Christ. And Barb lives in Northwest Ohio. She's the proud mom of 3 adult daughters, and she prefers to eat dessert first whenever possible. I mean, don't we all?
Right.
Wouldn't it be great if dessert were the meal and the vegetables were the dessert?
Sometimes dessert is the meal. Sometimes it is.
Sometimes it is. But hey, I'm excited about what we're going to talk about today. When I was thinking about this topic, honestly, I'm not sure that there's a better person out there to talk to about this than you, Barb. But as we begin a new year, what I want us to focus on for this season on the podcast is Scripture, the Bible, God's Word. And that seems really broad, but Barb and I have, we talked, and what we want to talk to you about today is starting your new year in God's Word and having the confidence to approach it. So here's my first question to you, Barb. How do you start? Like, if you're that woman who, you know, maybe you're thinking about New Year's resolutions, you're thinking about things that you want to do differently, and you're thinking, I do want to spend more time in God's Word. Where do you start?
That is a great question to begin with, because for all of us, there is this, this overwhelming sense is people who want to have a relationship with God of, okay, what should that look like? And what's right and what's wrong? And there's so many choices out there. And how much time do I spend? So for me, the top priority isn't so much what do I do, but it's why am I doing it? Mm. And that starting place for me every day is always willingness. Like, if I'm willing and I want to connect with God, then that removes the pressure for me to have to feel like I have to choose the right thing. Mm-hmm. I can do a variety of things to stay connected to God. Bible study is just one of those opportunities. So the very first thing I always begin with is willingness. Do I want to have that connection with God? And from there, then I can make some choices. And a lot of those choices for me are often really just based on just going, okay, God, I've got all of these opportunities. Which one do you put on my heart? And then I just pick one. And I do not stress out about whether or not it's the right one. I just pick one and jump in.
Okay, you have said two things that I love, and I want to talk about both of them. And the first one is the willingness. I have a question about that. And then the second one, and you said this word, you said it two different ways. You said pressure and stress. And so I want to talk about both of those things because I love that you brought it up. Let's talk about the pressure and the stress first, and then I'm going to come back to the willingness. But I feel like you have touched on something that we don't talk about very often, which is we come to God's word and we feel all kinds of pressure about, like, somehow it's up to me to get this right so that I hear from God or I glean something from the scriptures. And I even did like a little video on Facebook or Instagram about this several months ago because it was occurring to me. I mean, it's not even something that happens one time, you correct it, and then you never think about it again. It's like every now and then, or maybe often, we come to God's word and we feel like it somehow depends on us to get something right in order for us to experience God in his word or create some sort of, you know, perfect scenario where we have this aha moment. Like somehow we put pressure on ourselves that it depends on us. And what got me thinking about it was I had seen this little note that my kids left me in my prayer journal. And I was just, it's just the sweetest thing when I come across these notes from them. And that's what I thought, you know, whenever I'm reading something that my child wrote me or that my husband wrote me or a note that I got from a friend that came in the mail, I feel no pressure and no stress about when I'm reading these thoughts from them. It's always just a blessing. And then I compared that with how I feel sometimes when I open God's word. And I don't always say it's always just a blessing. Sometimes I do use those words like pressure and stress. So will you talk to me a little more? Because I feel like you've experienced it or you wouldn't have brought it up. So I'd love for you to share a little more about your experience with pressure and stress coming to God's word and how you learned to leave that alone and be able to come to God's word with the freedom of knowing it's not up to you.
And the beautiful part about entering into this discussion is that story you just shared with your children, because that really is at the heart of God, that his desire for us is to be in his presence and receive from him. My recent Bible study on breakthrough, Finding Freedom in Christ, is on the book of Galatians. And the Apostle Paul is having this whole entire discussion with the church of believers who believe that they have to do for God. And really the reality is that God wants more for us than from us. That's the reality. And I grew up in the church. I grew up with this idea that I had to do more and do better as a Christian. I call it the good Christian recipe card. And this recipe card was like one cup of prayer, one cup of Bible study, one cup of going to church, one cup of serving, and then you mix it in with some worship music. And if you do all of those things, then God is pleased with you. And what ends up happening for all of us is at different seasons of life, we can't keep up with that good recipe card. We're missing ingredients for one reason or another. And then we beat ourselves up and we assume that God is disappointed with us. Well, the gospel, when we read the gospel, it's based on God's perfect promises. It's not based on our performance. And it took me a lot of years for me to really absorb that. And the game-changing moment for me, Katie, was when I, instead of keeping the focus on what I was doing for God, I became adept at learning how to see where God was working in my life. And once I began to notice where God was working in my life, that took the pressure off of me to have to pick the perfect Bible study, to time how long I was praying, to mentally think how many brownie points I'd learned. I put the focus on where was God at work instead of where I was working for God.
It's so good. And such a shift when the pressure is off. I mean, even when I'm listening to you and I'm listening to as you take us into those game changer moments, you know, those shifts in perspective, and even just hearing it, I'm thinking, wow, I can hear the difference in the relationship with God when we're coming to Him, we're not doing for Him. And, you know, I remember a time whenever I was pregnant and I had three little kids and my sweet husband would come home from work and he would help me because I needed help. You know, he'd be gone all day and he'd come home there, but there's a lot of things I needed him to help me to do. And I was so thankful for that. But it never failed at the end of the day after he had come home and he had helped me and maybe we had gotten our three children in the bed. We would sit down on the couch next to each other, just shoulder to shoulder. And I still remember those nights just sitting with him. And I remember it was in that moment it occurred to me, I was so thankful for all that he was doing, but I would never want that to be the only thing. I would never want to miss just being with him. And that's actually a principle that we talk about in the Bible study I wrote, She Smiles Without Fear, that this first step to smile without fear of the future is to spend less time doing and more time being with Jesus, which that's is a right. lot about what you're talking about.
That's right.
It's shifting the focus from everything we feel like we have to get right in order to approach God's word and receive from Him, and instead just come to Him. And so then that kind of takes us back to what you were saying at the beginning about the willingness. And I want to dig a little deeper on that because I think sometimes we can say I'm willing because either we feel like, well, I'm supposed to be willing. So I'm going to say that I'm willing. But I also know that a willingness will oftentimes come from a deeper understanding of our need for Jesus, our need His presence and His activity in our lives, a need for relationship, real relationship with Him. So can you talk to us a little more about maybe the things beneath the willing heart? What might even, you know, you said that's your starting line. The starting line is the willingness. What happens before the starting line to get us to the willingness?
For me, it looks like an invitation. We can receive an invitation to a friend's house. And when that invitation shows up, whether it's a text or it's an email or in a mail, and we get this opportunity to decide, are we going or not? And in a spiritual sense, willingness is saying yes to the invitation. Now, when we say yes to someone's invitation, we do not send them a list of demands. A good guest doesn't say, well, then I'm going to show up and I'm going to do this and this and this, and I'm going to stay for this long and dictating what we're going to do. But rather, we show up with a heart that is like, thank you. I'm here because you have opened up this place for me. And when we walk into a friend's house for an invitation to lunch or show up at the restaurant, we sit down and we're served. And there's that tension inside where we want to jump up and do something, but a good friend is like, no, I want you to receive. I've got something for you. And the way we have to manage ourselves is to get ourselves in the place where we're willing to receive. And that for me paints a picture of what it looks like in my relationship with God, that I have this humility that I can't, but God can. I cannot change some of the things about me that create issues and problems in my life. I can't release some of the bad habits, but I know that God can. But if I'm trying to do for myself and if I'm trying to fix myself, it's much better when I sit at the table and I allow God to do what He's going to do within me. Does that make sense?
It does. You know, it brings up an example that I have six kids. I talk about them often. And a lot of my analogies come from the things that happen as a mother of six kids. And so I make spaghetti, but the way that we do it is I do it, it's like a spaghetti bake. And this right now, everybody's going, what does it have to do with with Bible study. Hang on. I promise it has something to do with Bible study. I'm not going to go into the whole spaghetti bake recipe, but the point is I put it in a pan. So instead of like a pot on the stove where you have the sauce and the meat and whatever, I make layers in a like 9 by 13 inch pan. It goes in the oven and then it comes out. And when you make spaghetti that way, there is always the caked, like almost burnt on sauce on the sides of the pan, right? Mm-hmm. And what I did when I began making this and then it came time to clean it up is I would sit there with a sponge and I would have to press so hard for so long and scrub so hard for so long that my arm would start to hurt. It would fatigue the muscles in my arm because I was trying to get this caked on sauce off of the side of the pan. And even after I did all of that and my arm was tired, there would still be caked on sauce on the side of the pan. And so after doing that a few times and realizing even all of my effort isn't working, it's not helping, what I began to do is just put the pan with all of the caked on stuff on it, put it in the sink, put some soap and water in the pan, fill it up, and let it sit there. And after it sat there and soaked in the water and the soap for several hours, I would come back and honestly just rinse. I mean, it would not even require scrubbing because after sitting there with the soap and the water, it softened the caked on sauce and then it just came right off with no effort from me. And that's what it, to me, when I hear what you're saying, that's what it sounds like. It is the difference between us trying so hard to change things or just coming and sitting in the presence of the Lord and sitting with him long enough that he just takes it. He does it for us. And it's not, even like you said, even when we respond to the invitation, it's like we can come, but then we still try to bring what we can bring, do what we can do. And certainly there is a heart of humility, a heart of repentance. And back to what you said, a heart that is willing to let God do what he wants to do in us. There's the response that is required, but it's such, like, that's grace. It's that we respond and he does everything else. And yeah, it's such a hard concept to grasp. But when we approach God's word, we just, I think by nature, we're just designed to grab that sponge and scrub with all of our might. And what you're describing just reminds me of that contrast between working as hard as we can and then just sitting with Jesus and letting him do the work that we could never do on our own, which he's already accomplished on the cross and which he's given us through the life-giving words of his word that we can just come to and then let him do through his word what only he can do. And it is such a shift. And then I wanted to ask
let me add one more thing.
Yes.
The reason why this whole dialogue that we've just had is so important is because most of us place this undue emphasis on what kind of Bible study we're doing and what the topic is and who the teacher is. And we're stressed out about whether or not we miss doing a day if it's a 5-day Bible study. And we judge ourselves based on how well we're performing or what kind of Bible study we've chosen. Is that a deep Bible study? Is it a fluffy Bible study? And so we've created this rubric for how we've judged our approach to our spiritual life, which is scrubbing the pan versus having that soaking mentality that you were just talking about. And when we're having that soaking mentality, that it doesn't matter if we're picking a Bible study from a solid Bible teacher, then it doesn't matter if it takes you 10 weeks to do a 6-week Bible study, if you finish it in 2 weeks, if you only have 2 minutes on one day and 20 minutes on another. Mm-hmm. We then shift the focus from ourselves and instead shift the focus to where God is at work. And then that takes the pressure off of what we're choosing. I'm doing mm-hmm. a Bible study right now that, frankly, it's not my favorite. But it doesn't matter that it's not my favorite. I have God's conviction that this is where he wants to speak to me. And so I show up each day, and would you know it, in this really unique season of my life, what I'm studying in that Bible study right now, chapter by chapter, is ministering to a place in my life. Even though the format and the approach isn't something I love, it doesn't matter. What matters is that I know that this is the space where God is speaking to me. And so I'm not focused on the author or what she's writing. I'm walking with her. She's created this experience. But what my real focus is on is how God is speaking to me in the midst of it and where he's working in my life.
Mm-hmm. And you know, that reminds me of a time when I went one verse at a time through a book in the Bible. So I would literally, and when I say one verse at a time, I mean sometimes one verse a week. Wow. I would read like chapter one, verse one. And here's the thing. It was a letter. And so chapter one, verse one was not, it was just like a, you know, a greeting. Like it wasn't super meaty, but that it's, you know, to speak to what you're saying, that's what I felt like God had called me, the space he had called me into at that time. And I would sometimes spend an entire week on one verse, and it's not even like, you know, John 3:16 kind of a verse, right? Just like a verse that, to be honest, when I read it and I thought, I'm going to spend a week reading this verse over and over and over, and I did not see what I could possibly glean from the verse, what God could possibly teach me through the verse. And I will tell you, I was wrong. I was wrong. And God taught me more from the verses that I never, because I just slowed down. And one verse at a time, even the verses that I would normally have read right over. But it was like you said, meeting God where I felt convicted that he was working and that he wanted me to be, and he was going to teach me in that place. And so it can look a lot of different ways, as like you were saying. But here's a question I want to ask you, Barb, because maybe there's a woman listening who's going, that all sounds great, but what if I don't feel like God is leading me into, like, what if I don't feel like he's leading me to this Bible study or to this book of the Bible or to read one verse, or what if I don't necessarily sense any sort of start here? Where do you begin when you feel like that?
The beginning point is always connection. Whether it is simply sitting before God and saying, Lord, I'm not exactly sure where to start, but I'm going to sit here in expectation that you're going to speak. And then a second layer of connection is to be with another body of believers. In Acts 2, when the early church got started, when you read Acts 2, particularly verses 42 through 47, it didn't say that all the believers met in front of a Beth Moore Bible study. It said that they met together in homes for worship and prayer. That's where they started at. And so if you're listening today and you have no idea practically where to start, start with a group of other believers, because together you can be support and community pointed towards Jesus. And that matches as you're praying and looking to God for personal guidance and conviction.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And it reminds me of two things. One, you know, my local church will have scriptures that they post, like read the, you know, that just a Bible reading plan that I can. So I have oftentimes done that when I didn't necessarily feel any direction one way or another from the Lord on a Bible study or where to dig into scripture. Then I'll just read whatever my church is reading for the day, you know, because that's just a great place to start, to begin. And then another time I think about was when my husband was playing football and we were bouncing from place to place. And we didn't oftentimes have a local church body that we had been able to get involved in because we were moving. But I remember getting together with a couple of girls and we wanted to have a small group study, and I wanted to be a part of it, but I honestly didn't have any direction. And then I had lunch with two other women and they had direction. And one of them was like, I really feel like we should do this. And so it was such a blessing to have that community. And so we went in the direction that, you know, she felt like God had led her as a group. And so those can be such helpful resources. And you know what we will do, if you're listening and you don't have the opportunity immediately in front of you for that local body of believers, and you're thinking, I don't even know where to start with that, I'm going to prayerfully begin that. The other thing that we'll do, Barb mentioned her Breakthrough Bible Study. I mentioned my She Smiles Without Fear Bible Study. We will put links to those in the show notes. So maybe one of those is a place that you grab a couple of girlfriends and you start there together. But what we hope as you begin is that you can take some of the things that you've learned today, apply them to your time in God's Word, and grow in confidence as you do that one day at a time. Barb, thank you so much for all of these just amazing insights. And really, I feel like what you have spoken to today is just a new approach to Bible study as we begin a new year.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Katie. And I pray that over the new year that as listeners are thinking through and going, what does it look like for me to experience a real relationship and connection with God, that you have the confidence that God is at work, that He wants to love you and care for you. He wants to help you grow to be more like Jesus. And that is His work. And you can rest in that without pressuring yourself to do the work yourself.
Amen, Barb. Thank you so much. And we are so excited to start a new year on the Best Day Ever podcast. And we are so excited that you are starting the year with us. And I pray that you have heard something today that helps you live today as your best day ever. Thanks for being here.